appreciate the prayer, and I ask you, keep praying. Seemed like I had a kind of a struggle to try to find. Seemed like I had several things I wanted to bring forth, and I'd study on that for a little while. Next thing you know, my mind would go a totally different direction. And this morning, it has gone a totally different direction, and I hope and pray that it is of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, and I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, so many of the prayer requests of this morning kind of has a lot to do with what's on my mind this morning. What I have on my mind, I pray it's of the Lord, is Ephesians chapter 5. It's the verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Dear children. Now, I'm a new father, and I have a child, and she is very dear to me, but I've heard some people that have older children, grandchildren, said, you know, there's some children that are just dear children. We love our children. But if a child is doing the way it's supposed to, walking in the right path, listening to mommy and daddy, and doing what's right, they're acting as a dear child. And Paul would say here, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We are the children of God, are we not? We're supposed to be. We're the sons of God. That's a high honor. Can you imagine if, let's just say in an earthly standpoint, that you were an orphan and you had nobody your entire life, and then finally, just out of nowhere, somebody came and says, "I want you. Come to my house." You've lived in poverty your entire life, but they bring you to a mansion that's plentiful with food and toys, and just anything you can think of is there for you. Brothers and sisters, how much better is knowing that our adoption is sealed? We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We're welcomed into His house. So, brothers and sisters, let's think upon that. Let's think upon these things. As Paul would say, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." So he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." Well, that's a tall order, isn't it? The love that Christ has for us is shown forth, that God has shown forth His love to us. We are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Brothers and sisters, we can try. We'll never obtain that, this side of glory. But that should be our mark. That's our example. That's what we need to be following after. So we be therefore followers of God and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Just that portion right there, just that alone, should be enough for us to praise Him for all eternity. That He has sacrificed Himself for us. Somebody who would sacrifice themselves for you. You know, as husbands, that's the way we're supposed to be loving our wives. We're supposed to be wanting to be doing everything we possibly can. But that's what Christ did for His bride. He actually did it. He actually sacrificed Himself. Gave His life for His bride. For His children. God purposed it that it would happen. His foreknowledge. He set His love upon us before the very foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about love that we just cannot even fathom. We can't even get in our minds. But we can try. We can read His Word. We can study it. We can try to understand it. And try to do better. As walking in love and being as dear children. So we have this, well, followers of God as dear children. Now, you might ask yourself, well, How do I do that? How do I walk in love? How do I act as a dear child? You know, some people, they come to the faith and they hear it for the very first time, and you can just see it in their eyes and see it just bubbling over with joy. They've never heard such thing, and they're rejoicing in it. But they don't know how to do that. That's one of the reasons we have the Word. That's one of the most important things about the Word, is its instruction. You know, it's profitable for instructions in righteousness. We need it. We need His Word to be as followers of God, His dear children. So if we're needing to know, He says in chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, what's that one word, that therefore? I love those therefores. You don't have to stop and think. Therefore, what's it there for? Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And skip down to verse 2. It says, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So we are called, right? We're the called out. We're the ecclesia. We're the church. Called out. Sons of God. He says, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, I tell you, if you listen to the world enough, that's very foreign to the world. The world's trying to tell you, you're number one. Don't be out there doing other things for other people. You got to look out for yourself. And, lowliness and meekness? No, you got a hard charge, right? Yeah, stand up for yourself. Brothers and sisters, if we realize who our Heavenly Father is, we can go boldly to Him, and He is with us. If we're with Him, He'll be behind us. He'll help us through the day. Now, He did say, with all lowliness and meekness. Like I said earlier, that's very foreign to the world, that lowliness and meekness. Some people mistake meekness for weakness. Brothers and sisters, I don't see that. If we read in the Scriptures and we understand the meekness and lowliness of man, submitting ourselves unto our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters, that's not weakness, because that's where we gain our strength. I have no strength of my own, but I can gain strength from my Heavenly Father. He is my strength. So, brothers and sisters, let's walk as dear children. We are the child and children of God. So let's walk as dear children. So if we're walking in His way, Lord is going to be with us, helping us along, fighting our battles for us. That's how the children of Israel, the Lord was telling them, I'll fight your battles. I'll go before you and prepare the way. If they would be obedient. That's the thing about a parent. Most of the time, you know, if your child is obedient and does what you say, you know, there's more things that you're willing to let them do. But if we're hard-headed, let's raise my hand. If we're hard-headed and not listening to our parents sometimes and doing things wrong, you know, want to tighten that leash up a little bit. You know, it's not let you go to places, not let you do as many things. So let's walk His dear children. Aren't your parents more willing to believe you and trust you when we're walking as a dear child? We need to be trusting in the Lord, having faith, walking as a dear child. And the closer we're walking with Him, brothers and sisters, you know the blessings that's just poured out upon us. The psalmist would say, He daily loadeth us with benefits. And brothers and sisters, you think all the benefits, you're saying, well, I haven't received much benefit. Sunshine, the rain, the very air we breathe. I mean, it's just things that you don't even think about, especially living in this country. Sometimes we just don't even think about it. There's people that don't have clean drinking water, clean air to breathe, you know, clean clothes to wear, a nice place to sleep. There's things that we need to be thankful for. And walking as dear children, thanking the Lord for all His blessings. Because if we're not being thankful, If our mind and heart is hardened by this world and thinking of worldly things and lusting after the things of the flesh, brothers and sisters, our mind is not going to be very thankful. We're not going to be walking with all lowliness and meekness. We're not going to have that heart to want to be forbearing one another in love. We're not going to have that heart that's wanting to pray for one another. Our heart is going to harden up in stone. And brothers and sisters, we can get to a point where we're seared. Let's not get that way. Let's have that heart that's touched and tendered. You know, that good ground that's broken up and prepared for the seed that's going to be sown. Brothers and sisters, that's when we come to church and we hear the word that's proclaimed. That's the word of God. It's the seed that's being spread. It needs to find good ground. Ground that's prepared for it so it can bring forth fruit. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be bringing forth that fruit in our lives. Not only for ourselves, but for others. We need to be good examples. We need to be setting forth that. And how we can do that is walking, you know, walk worthy of the vocation where we're called with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. That's another one, long suffering. How long suffering is God? I can't tell you. It's too much. He's already forgiven me so much. We need to be like Him. We need to be long suffering with one another. You know, sometimes the world will tell you, if a brother offends you, cut him off for good. He's no good. He'll do you wrong. Forget him. You know, somebody came to the Lord and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And the Lord told him, no, 70 times 7. Now, I don't believe that He meant that as you keep a tally of it. And when he reaches that number, you forget him forever. No, it's just a number. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. Keep forgiving. Be long-suffering. You know, it's hard. You know, I can say that until I'm blue in the face. But I need to hear it every day. Because, brothers and sisters, I will be the first to tell you. If I get cut off in traffic, I'm not very long-suffering. I have to stop and think. I have to be repented of the way my thoughts are. It's troublesome. It's tiring. That's the thing about it. You know, walking as dear children, walking and working in this kingdom, staying in the kingdom. That's why they said press into the kingdom. There's some opposition. There's going to be some opposition. This world is the biggest opposition. This flesh is the greatest. I war against the flesh all the time. I don't know how you're doing, but I can tell you I'm weary sometimes. The flesh gets me down. It bothers me a lot. It rears its ugly head a lot. But if we keep these things in memory, walk worthy of the vocation where we're called, all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's, brothers and sisters, the more long-suffering we are, the more forbearing we are in love, we can keep that unity of spirit, the bonds of peace. How many times have churches had something pop up, heads got knocked together, and they couldn't reconcile, and they split apart? You see, and that's how there's families like that, that are just ripped apart. And how destructive it is to the family unit, to the church. Brothers and sisters, if there was more peace, if there was more touched and tendered hearts, if there was more forbearing another with love, long-suffering, there'd be more peace in our lives. There'd be more peace in our churches. That's one of the prayers we need to be praying. Brothers and sisters, Heavenly Father, please bless us. Grant us peace at home. Grant us peace at church. Because this church is a refuge. This is our refuge from the world. It's a wonderful place to come. You know, the Lord knew what He was doing when He set up the church. We need it. Some people would tell you, well, I can worship God, you know, and I read my Bible all the time, and I can worship God just as well sitting on the lake fishing. Like, well, obviously you haven't been reading the Bible. We need to be reading. We need to be coming together. having that spirit of unity in the church. And if you'd read, it's like, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, those are tools that we can use to help keep the unity. You know, if we're, let's see, lowliness, let's do the opposite. If we're high-minded, meekness, no, we're proud, long-suffering, we don't long-suffer with anybody. See, all those things, the opposite of those things, cause friction, cause contention in the church, in our homes, our families. Brothers and sisters, turn that around. Use the opposite of those evil ones. Lowliness. You know, not thinking too highly of ourselves. That meekness. Allowing others. Having others on our mind. So we can endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Brothers and sisters, the more we're doing that, the more we're having peace in our churches, the more we're having come together in peace and unity, brothers and sisters, that's how we're walking as dear children. He goes on in verse 4, "There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ." We have different gifts in the church, do we not? We have different gifts. People aren't the same. We're not robots. We're different. We have differences. You know, if you find somebody's just alike, you know, you think, spend some time with them for a little bit, you'll find a difference. There's always something different. But brothers and sisters, we need to be seeing those differences, seeing those weaknesses and strengths, using those. And we have that unity. If somebody's weak in one aspect and strong in the other, they can get together and help each other. That's how we need to be. We need to be thinking of others. Walking as dear children, having others on our mind, especially in the church. That's one of the best things that we about the church is if you're riding high on the mountaintops and you're feeling great, Lord's blessed you, your life is going great, come to church. Because there's probably somebody in there that's going through the valley. It's going in rough time, terrible times. You need to reach down, help them up. And if you're down in the valley and low and minded, going through struggles, come to church. Because hopefully, if we're in the right mindset, the ones that are up are going to reach down and help us. We need to help each other. We need to have that unity, walking as dear children. So back to Ephesians 5. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And I've already read some about how we need to be followers. We need to be lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So we need to be keeping this in our mind, keeping this fresh on our hearts, knowing what we need to be doing, how we should act as dear children. Some other good examples of this and how we can do this, we turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 begins, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's reasonable. God hasn't called us to do any great things. If He has, He's going to open doors and help you do them. That's the thing about He told Moses to go get the children of Israel out. Was He relying on Moses' strength, Moses' intelligence? Was He relying on Moses to get the job done? No. He was going to bring His people out. It was going to happen. But He chose Moses to deliver the message. That's the thing. If the Lord has called us to do something, He's going to help us do it. So, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." It's His mercy. He's shown us mercy. Like I said, He's going to help us do it. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, Now, the thing about a sacrifice on the Old Testament, they would kill the animal. They'd sacrifice. The animal was dead. But brothers and sisters, we need to be living sacrifice. That means we need to be caught back on the altar each and every day, sacrificing what? Sacrificing time, energy, whatever we have to give. We need to be giving to others. We need to be living as dear children, walking worthy of our vocation and trying to help one another out. The Lord set up the church for us. Like He says, by the mercies of God. It's by His mercy that He has given us the church. Again, it's a refuge from this world. You know, if you live so too much in the world, it can drag us down. There's too many things that's happening. We hear about bad things happening all the time in the sin-cursed world, everything berated on every side, and trying to walk as a dear children of God, there's opposition on every front. But, you know, if we go back to Ephesians and we read Ephesians chapter 6, He's given us armor that we can arm ourselves with. You know, we can use that. We can quench the fiery darts of Satan. We can use to head on. You know, if you're reading much about that armor, I don't hear much about like a back plate or anything of that. Why? Because if we're using that armor, if we're walking as dear children, we don't have to worry about anything from the back. He's our rear reward. He's behind us. He'll help us along the way. But He's such a great God. He's in front of us too. Some people might think, well, I can't understand that. Great! If you could understand God, He wouldn't be much of a God in the first place. I'm still glad of some mysteries. I'm still glad of some things that I don't understand. But He's with us if we're with Him. Now, even in our times of disobedience, even in our times of straying away, Heavenly Father is not too far away. We can even still get down on our knees and call out for Him to help. And He's right there. You know, I heard somebody once say that, you know, God is everywhere. And then I also heard somebody say, well, I understand what they're trying to say, but I like to think that God is everywhere He wants to be. But He's never too far. Never too far. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's one of the things that just really just pulls at my heartstrings sometimes when I think about it. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. But what was one of the things that Christ proclaimed from the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to do it alone. Christ had to do something that we'll never have to experience, never have to deal with. He was utterly alone. Brothers and sisters, we're never alone. That's why we need to be walking as dear children, because that's the way that God, our Heavenly Father, looks upon us as dear children. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's why we need to be walking as dear children, living our lives as a dear child of God. So, let's get back to Romans real quick. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Like I said, it's reasonable. He's going to help us with it. He's told us to do it. We need to do it. It's reasonable. It's not hard. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. That's another word that a lot of people get hung up on in the Bible nowadays, this world. Well, you know, the best thing to help us understand the Bible is, well, the Bible. Just keep reading. Read around it. He's talking about the world. Well, he said, and be not conformed to this world. Well, obviously, he's not talking about his children. He says, be not conformed to this world. Talking about the world, the evil world, the world that's around us, the sin-cursed earth, the people that are not his children. Be not conformed to this world. So let's not be like the world. Let's not be like the world. Like, you know, that's one of the things I have a real struggle with, is so many times that some churches are trying to be more worldly. You know, sometimes you see pictures of this church, you can't tell if it's a church service or a rock concert or what. It just boggles my mind. It's enough of that. But anyway, we don't need to be conforming to this world. Some people say, well, you know, the Bible is old-fashioned. We need to change it. We need to get it into the new century or whatever. No! It's timeless. Doesn't matter if it's 2019 or 4019. If we live to that, if the world lasts to that long, the Bible will still be relevant at that time. It is timeless because our God is eternal. His word is eternal. There's no time limit on it. Some people say, well, the Bible needs to get with the times. No, you need to get with the Bible times. We need to be reading His word. He's given it to us. So we need to be, do not be conformed to this world. We need to be different. That's another thing about a dear child. A dear child is going to be different. We have some children that are rebellious. You know, I remember there's times where I was a dear child. And then there's sometimes I was a rebellious child. Probably more of that. But anyway, we need to be as a dear child. We don't need to be conforming to the world. The world will tell you, you don't need to be doing this. You don't need to be following after this. It says, be not conformed to this world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of our mind. How do we do that? By reading His word. Staying with our nose in the book. Reading His instructions on how to live. How to live with one another. How we're supposed to act. How we're supposed to walk as a dear child. It's in here. We just need to read it. We need to be following after it. So, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove. Try it. Try Him. Prove Him. Try it out. That way we can tell that good and acceptable will of God. So, we know we need to be walking as a living sacrifice. Giving some time, giving some effort, even finances, whatever we can do. You know, I don't believe the Lord wants us to just, every time we see somebody, just throw everything we have at them. You know, but whatever He's blessed you with, help bless somebody else. Pass it along. I do not believe that the Lord wants us to live in poverty. You know? But I also don't believe the whole health and wealth doctrine. You know, it's like, well, if you pray for $1 million long enough, it'll bless you. Sometimes if we're praying for $1 million, He may give us just enough to get the meal for the next day. You know, when Isaiah went and stayed with the widow. Elijah, when he stayed with the widow, you know, she had that little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And she was going to bake a cake, and her and her son, they were going to eat it, and they were going to die. But the Lord told Elijah to go there. And every time she went back, there was always a little bit more in the barrel. There was always a little bit more. They ate on that for over a year. A little bit of meal. Now, some people couldn't say, well, I couldn't even eat all that but one meal. Brothers and sisters, if God has told us, and God's going to bless it, it can happen. Like I said, we're His children. We're the children of God. He's going to help us. We need to be trusting in Him. We need to be followers as dear children. So, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be reading our Bible. We need to be reading His word. Not leaning on our own understanding, seeking after His wisdom. So, renew our mind. And it says, by the renewing of your mind. That's something we need to be doing every day. We need to be doing it constantly. We need to be keeping this word on our mind. Read it every day. To me, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, but to me, it just seems like we need to be reading our Bible early in the morning. Before we start our day, we need to have that. We need to spend some time in prayer and reading His word. You know, they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's, you know, breaking the fast. You know, you're fasting all night. you need that breakfast in the morning so you get that energy so you sustain you through the day. Well, brothers and sisters, this is our daily bread. Why would we not feast upon this early in the morning? Now, some people say, well, my schedule's crazy. I got too much stuff to do. It's like, well, I know we can come up with excuses for everything. I know I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at coming up with excuses. But there's really no excuse. There's things we can change. You said living our lives is a living sacrifice. There's things we need to be changing, sacrificing. The Lord would say, if any man shall come after me, what does he say first? Let him deny himself. That's a sacrifice right there, isn't it? I hate to deny myself. I like comforts of this life. I like to do things for me. We need to be denying ourselves first. Seeing what the Lord will have us to do. We can serve others better if we have that mindset. Renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the will of God is good. God's ways are best. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. If it's the will of God, it's the best way. It's the best thing for us. It's the best thing to do. You know, we sang that song, How Happy Is Every Child of Grace. We're the children, we're a child of grace. You know, the Lord would tell us that all these things that we need to be doing, He says, happy are ye if you do them. It's the commandments of God. Happy are ye if you do them. We don't need to just be readers of the Word. We need to be doers as well. If we read it, we need to do it. We need to put it into practice. If it's not part of our practice, we need to start something new. We need to start fresh. And, you know, that's a great thing about the day. Each and every day, that's another opportunity to start afresh. That's one thing. I love to watch a sunrise in the morning when it's coming up, and it just seems like the earth just comes alive. You know, there's animals that's coming moving around, and birds start to chirping, and the sun's just reaching out across the side, and it just seems like it's just coming alive. It's like just a new birth. But each and every day is another opportunity for us to make the right choices. We can start our day off right. We can read His Word. We can spend some time with Him in prayer. We can grab that armor and start suiting up for the day. And so we can step forth and take on the day as a dear child. As a dear child. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if staying in His will, brothers and sisters, He's with us. He's going to prepare the way. He's going to help us throughout the day. But it still just boggles my mind that even in my disobedience, even days that I don't, even days that I leave my armor at home and I get hit by these fiery darts, I can still come and say, Lord, forgive me for my foolish choices. You know, that's one of the best things we have. We have an advocate with the Father. Even in my disobedience, I can call upon Him. Brothers and sisters, that's long-suffering. That's grace. That's His mercy that's placed upon us. Because He has that mercy and that grace bestowed upon His dear children. So we need to be walking as dear children. In the interest of time, let's drop on down to verse 9. Another way we can help one another. One of the things that we can walk as a dear child. He says, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Don't let your love be fake. Don't have two-minded. Don't be two-faced when it comes to something. If you're putting your love upon something, let it be real. Don't just say to somebody, well, I'll pray for you, and then never think of them ever again. Or if you don't really like somebody, don't say something that, yeah, I love you. And then under your breath, he's like, I can't stand you. Let it be real. Let our love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. There's already enough evil out there. We don't need to be adding to it. We need to be cleaving to those good and honest things that this Word has to offer. Lord has blessed us with His words. We can read about this and change things in our lives. You know, that's the thing about the places that we work or we go to school or whatever we encounter people. I have no, I can't change them. I don't have any control over other people. But brothers and sisters, I can change me. I can try my best to change myself. And sometimes, if we're trying to change ourselves, we can be a good influence on others around us. Now, sometimes, it's just a blunt slap in the face. You know, they have no need of God, they don't care for God, and you can't change their mind. Just brush it off and go about your day, walking as a dear child, because the Lord will take care of that. Lord, you know, the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens to us. The Lord's going to take care of that. Do what we can to walk as a dear child. So, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That's how we need to be doing. Denying ourselves, preferring one another, seeing what we can do to help one another, showing that love of God out front. That's one of the ways we can let our light shine. Showing that love of God one to another. How good of a church would it be if everyone was doing their best about showing forth the love of God? It'd be a wonderful place. This world would be a better place if every one of children of God was showing forth as strong as they could, as best as they could. That's one of the things that we need to work on. I need to work on that. I'll be honest. I need to work on that. I need to be better at showing forth that love. You know, some people are worried because, you know, I don't want to show love too much because they may reject it. They may reject me because I'm a child of God. Brothers and sisters, we can't walk through life being fearful of these things. I love that song in our hymnal, number 52, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Because, brothers and sisters, each and every time we do something, we falter, it's like the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is looking and saying, that's one of mine. I've paid for his sins. We have that advocate with the Father. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Why should I be ashamed to call or speak His name? You know, that's the biggest thing that a while back I got to thinking about, you know, the time may come where we have more opposition, where we may have more tribulations and persecutions brought upon us. Brothers and sisters, if we can't stand and proclaim the name of Christ in front of our friends, how are we ever going to face the opposition? How are we going to be able to stand and proclaim Christ when persecution comes? It's a sobering thought, but we need to be walking as dear children, walking closer to Him. Brothers and sisters, I like to think about it as God as a wheel. God is the hub, and we're the spokes. Have you noticed the spokes on a wheel and there's a hub in the center? The closer the spokes are to the center, closer the spokes are to the center, the closer the spokes are together. The closer we are to one another, the closer we're going to be feeling to God. We need to be drawing closer to one another. We need to be drawing closer to Him, but that's how we can do that. By drawing closer to one another, letting our love be without dissimulation, cleaving to that good and abhorring the evil. That's one of the ways we can do it in all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that love without dissimulation, not being fake, true and honest love. Love we have one to another. And he would go on to say, and not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Fervent. You know, Peter would talk about the world melting with fervent heat. That's how our spirit should be towards God. That's how we need to be acting. We need to be fervent in our service to Him. You know, we read in the church at Laodicea, Lord said that because thou art hot nor cold, I'll spew thee out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Brothers and sisters, we need to be fervent in spirit. We need to be active. He says, not slothful in business. We need to be active. You know, that's the thing about being in the kingdom. We need to be actively pressing into the kingdom, actively serving. And one way we can serve Him is serving one another. So, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So, in our service to the Lord, let's not be slothful. Let's be fervent in spirit, serving Him. 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Brothers and sisters, that's the time. He says, rejoicing in hope. You know, we have that hope that is within us, the hope that one day the Lord will come and get us, and we'll be with Him forevermore. So we're rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. When we're going through tribulations, we're going through tough times in our life, we need to have that patience because we know the Lord's with us. We need to be knowing that the Lord is with us because of that hope that is within us and continuing instant in prayer. I started off talking about prayer, how powerful prayer is. If we're more of a prayer warrior, praying more, constantly in prayer, praying without ceasing, as Paul would say, brothers and sisters, tribulations will go easier. I didn't say that it'd get any better, but we'll go easier through them. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That's another thing. Just be nice to one another. Giving to the necessity of the saints. Seeing what we can do to help one another. If there's a need and you know there's a need, see what you can do to help. You know, sometimes some people are just hard to help. Sometimes I can get that way. Sometimes I'm just kind of hard to help sometimes. But we just need to keep in a prayerful attitude and a right mindset, walking as a dear child of God and seeing what we can do to help. And given to hospitality. Don't you just love it when you go to a church meeting and you're staying at somebody's house and you walk in and they just, it's almost like they just throw out the red carpet and just, you know, get the fine china out or whatever. Just feel like you're at home. It's a wonderful blessing. I love that. I've been blessed to be in some good homes in my life, and it's a wonderful blessing. So we need to be given to hospitality. It's one of the things we can do, making that love, that showing forth that love for one another. Showing forth the love we have one to another, the same love that God has shown for us. That's what we need to be trying to do as best as we can. But like I said earlier, we're never going to show the best love that God is for us. I just can't obtain that. But that's my goal. That's my standard I need to be looking for. So, given to hospitality. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Ugh. Some people would rather just kind of skip over that one. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. That is a toughie. But if we're in the right mindset, with all meekness, long-suffering, and knowing that vengeance is of the Lord, He'll repay. He'll take care of it. Our lives would be so much easier if we just learned to let certain things go. You know, if somebody has done you wrong, and you're just mad as all get out, and you're just angry about it for years, are you doing anything to them? No. But you're eating yourself up inside. Some things we need to just let go. That's one of the things. It seems like there's more about forgiveness in the Bible because it's helpful. It's like a release. If we forgive and just take it and give it to God, He'll take care of it. It's helpful. We can relieve stress. And you know, You know, you don't have to have a medical degree to know that stress has a lot to do with your health. If we can just let go of some of this, our health would be so much better. Our lives would be better. There'd be more peace in our lives. And the more peace we have in our lives, the better we can walk as dear children. So, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. That's easy. You see somebody that's rejoicing, it's wonderful to rejoice with them. And weep with them that weep. You know, if we know someone's mourning, we know that somebody's hurting, you know, we can be there. We can try to be a comfort to them. That's another thing about that love. We need to be showing forth that love to one to another. It's over and over and over in the Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, if we see anything that seems to be a repetition in the Scriptures, it needs to be thought of. It needs to be taken seriously. This is important. There's nothing in the Bible that's just filler, haphazard. No, it's intentional. It's for us. We need it. We need to be following this word. Walking as dear children, and the best way we can do that is showing forth that love one to another as best as we can. So rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be of the same mind. Again, not being fake, not being double-minded, not having the same double thoughts, being two-faced or anything. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescending to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, that's the thing. We not need to be leaning on our own understanding. Our minds are too feeble. Our sin nature is too strong for that. We need to have the strength of the Lord. We need to be leaning on His understanding, looking for Him for the wisdom and the guidance through our lives. If we try to do it ourselves alone, that's like the first time you tried to ride a bike yourself and you didn't have your balance just right. You say, I got it, I got it. And Daddy or Mama let go and you're on the ground. That's how we are. But let me tell you, unlike riding a bike, you know, eventually I learned how to ride a bike. Eventually I got my balance. That's not how it is with life. We need Him. We need Him every day. Every minute, every hour, we need Him. That song we have, I need Thee every hour. It's very true. We need Him. We need His guidance. We need His wisdom. So be not wise in our own conceits. Let's not think that are too highly of ourselves. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, that was one of the things I never really understood growing up. You know, it's like my brother would pop me in the arm or something like that, and I'd pop him right back. You know, he gave me one, I'm giving him right back. Lord would say, turn the other cheek. Again, letting things go. That's tough. That really is tough for us to just let certain things go. But if we're in that right mindset, all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, the more we're focused on that, the more our heart is touched and tender towards Him, the better we are able to forgive, to let go. So recompense no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. We need to be honest. We need to be truthful. Don't you just hate it when somebody lies to you or are dishonest? You know, I'd rather somebody tell me, it's like, well, I'm just not going to do that, than tell me they're going to do it and not do it. You know, just be honest with me. If you're not going to do it, just tell me. I hate being lied to. So we need to be providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Is it if it be possible? You know, some people would say, well, if we're a Christian, a true Christian, you know, you would never join the military and go fight in a war. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes people have to. You know, that's the thing about it. If somebody is trying to harm your family, do you have the right to defend yourself and them? I believe so. But that's why I said, if it possible. If there's a way around it, live peaceably with all men. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Here we go. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So give it to him. That's one of the things. We can just give it up. Just have that release. Give it. Go give it to God. Let him take care of it. Because he can. And he will do it perfectly. Sometimes we lash out in anger. And sometimes, you know, all the times when we lash out in anger, that's the wrong thing to do. You know, God's wrath is the holy wrath. God's way is the right way. He will repay. And he will do it perfectly. Way better than I could by retaliation. So, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. That just throws them for a loop. You know, the enemies, sworn enemies, people that are going to try to kill each other. But if he's hungry, thirsty, give him food, give him water. Live peaceably with all men. Having that love of God showing forth. It'll just blow them away. Like heaping coals of fire on their head. But brothers and sisters, as a dear child of God, that's how we need to act. We don't need to respond in kind. We need to respond in kindness. So verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The more we have on our mind the goodness of God, the more love of Christ we have in our heart, the more light we're shining out, brothers and sisters, we'll be able to overcome evil with good. Like I said earlier, I don't have any control over things that I, you know, people that I work with. I don't have any control or people who I meet in time. But if I walk as a dear child, I know I'm doing everything that I can do. The Lord will repay. He has it. The vengeance is His. He'll take care of it. He's going to be with me. I'm His child. He'll take care of me. We need to have this in our forethought. Keeping this in our mind. So real quick, back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Hopefully, what we've read can give us something that we can use, so we can take forth, and for the rest of the week, we can be using it and trying to be as that dear child, trying to walk worthy of the vocation where we're called. We are the called. We're the called out. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We need to be walking in the light, showing forth His love and being a good example to one another. That's the best thing in the world. You know, sometimes, I can't remember his name, but he had that quote, you know, preach the word of God wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. It just means that our walk, if we're walking as dear children, that's a good sermon for people to see. And sometimes that may be the only sermon somebody hears or sees, is how your life is. Now, that's another sobering thought. Oh, how many times have I messed up? You know, I wasn't walking as a dear child. But I can't do anything about the past. I don't live back there anymore. I live now. I can try to change now and walk as a dear child. May the Lord bless you.